I suggest we get started, and hopefully Paul joins us, but we do have our quorum. So I will call this meeting to order, the special November meeting of the Salem Parks and Recreation Advisory Board. I'm the chair, Dylan McDowell, and we'll jump right into roll call. Mickey Varney.
Present.
Alan Alexander.
Present.
Tony Cato.
Present.
Woody Dukes.
Present.
Dave Friedenmaker.
Present.
Rick Hartwig.
Present.
Keith Norris.
Present.
And Paul Rice is absent. Well, everyone, thanks for joining us on an unusual time. I hope everyone had was able to enjoy Veterans Day as well. And it's nice to see you all a couple weeks ahead of our December meeting here. We have a great report on the Climate Action Plan. We'll vote on our letter. But first, we have our public comments. So I want to invite Victoria Miles from the public to share a public comment with us. So please introduce yourself, Victoria, and we have about 3 minutes.
Hello, everyone. My name is Victoria Miles, and I'm the Community Impact Coordinator for Integrated Supports for Living. We've been around since 1974, and what we do is we provide therapeutic group homes and employment supports for children and adults with disabilities. And what we've been speaking with the Kaiser Parks Board about is adaptive play equipment for children and adults with the mentality of children to be able to further utilize our parks. And since Kaiser has been working on their master plan, we wanted to kind of check in with Salem and see if there was any room for renovations when it comes to ADA accessible equipment in the parks, and if that would be something that we could help you with.
Thank you so much, Victoria. That's really great to hear, and I appreciate you coming and bringing this up. I know this is something we've definitely talked about in the past in terms of parks master plans, and I would love to turn it over to Patricia, if I could, just to hear where the planning is in terms of ADA accessibility, especially when it comes to play equipment. I know we do a lot in terms of trail access and parking access and whatnot, but I'm not as clear on the play equipment.
Yes, hi, Patricia Farrell. So I know that in our master plans, we often reference making sure that it's inclusive equipment and as well as ADA accessible. So I would be interested in seeing kind of what some more information from you, Victoria, about some of the equipment that you have. You know, we have different master plans always in progress. We just have started the Bailey Ridge master plan, which is a neighborhood park in southwest Salem, but we're always upgrading equipment, and so Jennifer Keller is our parks operations manager, and she's not here tonight, but we would be interested in learning more from you.
Well, wonderful. I can put together a little something for you. We're having a fundraiser June 4th of next year, which is an inclusive field day for children 4 through 21 for them to kind of all get together and build a little bit better sense of community and have other nonprofits available so that people kind of know what their options are for in-home supports and things like that. But what we're fundraising for is for play equipment. And so, yeah, absolutely. I can send you an email with kind of what we had in mind and what we think would help make our parks more inclusive. And then we can chat a little bit further about it.
That'd be great. Yeah, we just finished the Gear Park master plan, and there is in the master plan an inclusive playground, but we don't get to the level of specifying equipment at a master plan level. So it would be good to learn more about the specific equipment that you're proposing.
Wonderful. Can do.
And Victoria, I'm always a big proponent of learning from other cities. So if you have any information on what Kaiser has adopted or is talking about adopting in terms of language and whatnot, it's helpful for us to see that too. So we can make sure there's some similarities and commonalities between the cities.
Perfect. Yeah. We talked with Matt Boyer a couple weeks ago when we spoke with the West Kaiser Neighborhood Association, because Wallace House Park falls under their jurisdiction. And yeah, it's still basically in its infancy stage of what exactly we want to put together. But as we're able to kind of make some decisions, absolutely, we'll run it past both boards.
Wonderful. Any other questions from the board for Victoria? Well, thank you, Victoria, for coming tonight and bringing this up. As Patricia mentioned, the master plans are relatively high level to start. And as we get down to that finer grain of detail, it's great to think about our options and to hear what other places are doing. So appreciate your time.
Thank you. Have a good one.
You as well. Okay, and Derek, I know we asked earlier, you were not going to do public comment, and I do not see anyone else in public comment or in the room. And Woody, I know you submitted some comments in regards to the climate action plan, but I feel like that might be more appropriate as we just move into that discussion, unless you wanted to share it at this point for any reason. Okay. I'm realizing that I skipped over the minute approval because of October. Since it was a special meeting, I went right into it, and I'm realizing we need to step back a little bit on our agenda here. So apologies, team. So if we could review the minutes quickly and get a motion for approval, unless there are any changes.
I move adoption as presented.
Wonderful. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second from Mickey. Any further discussion? Okay, all in favor, please say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. Okay, unanimous voice vote for the minutes.
I abstain, Dave. Okay. I wasn't here.
Perfect. Thank you, Dave. Appreciate that. All right. Well, we have our big meeting topic tonight, the Climate Action Plan, and I'll turn it over to Patricia in just a moment here, but I just want to start by saying this has been a really long process, and as Patricia mentioned last time, she started out, I feel like, being part of a group working on it and became the person working on it throughout this process in so many ways, and so just kudos to Patricia for really managing this process, obviously in coordination with the Verdes group, but on the city's behalf, you've done a lot in terms of these meetings. It got extended to make sure we had more quality input and to ensure an equity lens and bringing in different stakeholders. And so there's been a lot to get to this point. It's a very big document. There are a lot of strategies, a lot of room for us to work on different parts of that, even just within the natural resource section as the plan hopefully moves forward. But I want to start with that context for everyone of just how much has gone into this. And if you haven't already, looking at I think it's toward the end of the packet, just all of the different meetings and outreach and everything that took place over the last year or so. But Patricia, I'd love to turn it over to you to set the stage with some context of where we are in the plan, where we are with the plan now, and anything that's changed.
Yes, thank you. Well, thank you for having a special meeting. Hi, Paul. Appreciate people taking the time tonight to do this. So I presented to you the plan in October, so I'm not going to do my PowerPoint presentation. There has been a slight change in the plans, though, and I'm just going to pull up a revised schedule. So we had the public comment period. Can you see my screen now?
Yep, it looks great.
Okay. So we had the public comment period open until November 5th, and we had lots and lots, hundreds of comments. And so a lot of them were specifically about the natural gas strategies, but there was a lot of other comments as well. And so it's been decided that we're going to leave the public comment period open for a longer period of time. I mean, of course, the public comment period is always open, but the kind of the official one we're going to extend. And also the other thing is that instead of having a public hearing about it on December 6th, there's going to be an informational report that goes to council on December 6th. And then there will be another meeting to be scheduled with council in early 2022. So that's kind of the latest of where we are with the schedule. But the good news is also that we have been getting a lot of comments, and we have made a few revisions to the plan. I'm going to turn this screen off now because you can see the changes there. So it's an informational report instead of a public hearing. There will be a new revised final draft report posted on the 19th, and that will have all the pieces in it. The first one that we posted did not have the most recent greenhouse gas modeling forecast, which we reran based on a request from Northwest Natural Gas with some new data. So we reran that. So that will be included in the latest version. And if we didn't have enough strategies already, we now have a few more. So I think we're up to a little 183, I think. So we added a few based on some comments that we received. We did not remove any. We did a few kind of editorial changes and a couple of wordsmithing changes, and we will also provide a summary of those changes. But nothing has changed substantially from what was posted. And so that's the update from the last time I spoke about the Climate Action Plan.
Patricia, can I just clarify? You said that the comment period is being extended. What's the deadline for that extension? And is that going past the 19th when the next final draft or when the next draft is being posted?
Yeah, we're just going to keep the comment period open until council decides when they're going to set kind of the official meeting about it. And so up until then, we'll just keep the comment period open. We're not going to have the form that we had before. We're just going to, there's just an email address people can send comments. People kind of tended to do that anyway. So it just makes it easier for people.
So Patricia, does it still make sense to have a letter of support from SPRAB tonight then because it seems like the natural resource section in particular is likely not changed much, or if it has, only for the better by adding some more strategies like those that Woody suggested?
Well, we haven't added Woody's strategies to it because we just got those today. Gotcha. So, and I think a lot of those are actually covered already. I mean, I think some of Woody's were specifically about kind of how do we implement it, you know, as far as parks operations go. So I would say it's still appropriate to do it now because whatever we receive up until tomorrow is going to be included in the informational report as a public comment. So a letter would still be very much appreciated.
Great. That makes sense. I will, Woody, I'll turn to you in just a moment if you want to share some information on your comments that you provided. And I just wanted to quickly share for the letter, just the context. I think it's fairly straightforward, but the big point I tried to hit home with this and that I've been trying to talk about in the working or in the Climate Action Plan Committee as well is the ability to really integrate a lot of our natural resource solutions in with other topics. And I think there's a lot of focus on transportation being the most, the highest emissions for carbon emissions for Salem. And as we think about bikes and pedestrian options, there's just so much to integrate green space into that. So I think that we have some really neat opportunities as the Parks Board here to be staying involved as these conversations move forward. Woody, as we start thinking about implementation, to try and really push for natural solutions to be brought into that conversation and think about as development is moves forward, just that, you know, green space, if there's going to be trails, are they connecting the parks? How do we make sure green space is part of that as we build new developments for housing and equitable food systems, et cetera? So I think that's something all of us probably have in common. And the more we can refine that in a letter, any recommendations for strengthening that are obviously welcome, but I think it'll be a theme as this continues to hopefully go into action. But Woody, I'd love to turn over to you if you wanted to call attention to any of your comments. I'm just pulling those up myself now, but yeah.
Well, I just, I sent them out ahead of time and they pretty much speak for themselves. The one key one that I wanted to bring up is the last one related to the, I forget the term.
With nurseries?
Yeah, it's the native R's. See, the most people say that, you know, the best way for us, the proper trees for us to choose to plant right now are native species. But it's not really a native habitat for them anymore. You know, the temperatures are changing and, you know, all of the whole, sorry about that.
It's okay.
This is uncomfortable. So the idea is to find trees that are going to be able to grow in this changed environment.
Mm-hmm.
And so actually trees that are non-native may be more likely to be good for that. But these native R's, I just found out about these last Saturday, that they find them in the wild, and they have certain characteristics that show that they can adapt to these changes, and then try to get the nurseries to take those in and cultivate those. So basically, you just plain natives are just not doing very well right now. Native maples and Douglas firs are good examples. Mm-hmm. You've noticed them out in like a deep wood. Virtually all of the native maples all through of deep wood are dying or are dead, including the big one across from the driveway from the house, which totally died and was removed. So we need to find others than just the straightforward native species.
So if I could address that. So Woody, we have kind of both in the plan. We have to try to move towards planting more natives on city properties. But we also have the NR14, which is prioritize the planting of climate resilient trees. So it's not specifically native, as you mentioned, or they might be native to more southern Oregon, for instance. So we're looking at expanding our tree list, at least for our city tree list. And we've already, we worked on that, and we've already done that a little bit. But yeah, it is a little bit of an experimental process right now.
So that's all I have.
Thanks. That's really helpful.
Thank you, Patricia.
And Patricia, just to clarify for everyone, then Woody's comments will be submitted as part of the public comment in general for the Climate Action Plan, correct?
Yes. Yeah. So I'll just include, Woody, I'll just include your email in the packet with all the other public comments. And then once we get a point where we have all the comments, we'll go through them. We've already gone through a lot of them to see if there's specific things that that warrant any further changes in the final, when it goes to final city council meeting.
So let's open the floor. Are there other questions that folks have as you've looked through the Climate Action Plan or any of the information shared by Patricia tonight? Keith?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll just throw a little bit of support to Woody's comments there. I think particularly in terms of kind of thinking about how we adapt to climate change, right? I've commented a few times about planting natives, and that's certainly my preferred outcome, but I also recognize that climate has changed. And so, I think our letter does a decent job of acknowledging that and trying to orient ourselves toward adapting to those changes as they come. I know the goals that council set are to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. That's great. That's laudable. If Salem goes climate neutral or carbon neutral, that's not going to do a whole lot to actually protect us all from climate change, right? It's a global phenomenon. And so I think that's a good effort and a good contribution to the global efforts to reduce greenhouse gas emissions and a necessary component. But I think another component is the adaptation element. I think that speaks a little bit to what Woody was talking there about how we're adapting to it. Dylan, I think it speaks a little bit to your comments previously and kind of how you tried to incorporate that into the letter. The addition I would suggest to the letter and kind of thinking about Patricia's comments about how this is still open for public comment and a little bit longer until council decides is perhaps we add a date into the first paragraph there, kind of referencing specifically which draft of the plan this letter is written in regards to. I don't anticipate that staff is going to vastly overhaul this document at all, but I think that's an appropriate kind of caveat to put on it and specificity to put on it, that we're speaking to this plan that as it was drafted, whenever this plan was drafted. I'm not sure what date would go on that, but I think it would be appropriate to indicate that.
Patricia, to that point, is there are the plans dated or is there a version? I don't know what kind of tracking system there has been in terms of how they've been released.
I'm sure there's a version. I just don't know which one off the top of my head.
Okay, but we could always put a placeholder for that. I think, Keith, that's smart. Just as things change, it's always good to know what our comments are addressing.
And then maybe just, also say the version of the plan that was posted prior to November 5th or something like that might suffice.
Alan, I saw your hand went up, and then Mickey.
Yes, and I have to apologize. I'm having some real problems with the plan. As I read it, it's designed to reduce greenhouse gases and increase resiliency, two things that I support wholeheartedly. But I think the plan gets too broad in its scope. There's many, many of the, I only read 170 plus items. I hate to think that there's a few more that I really don't think are germane to the two objectives of reducing greenhouse gases and increased resiliency. And I also bothered by the fact that many of these strategies talk about incentivizing or supporting, but there's no talk about a funding source. There is a talk about a gas tax, and the numbers I look on that don't bear well. The return on investment for a gas tax doesn't seem to be working too high. There's also supposedly paid parking. I was yet to find any research. And I looked for the footnotes. I spent hours reading through this stuff, as well as the references, but I can't find any discernible information that providing a gas tax would reduce a certain reduction in car use. It hadn't proven true in most other jurisdictions. It certainly hadn't proved that Oregon passed a transportation plan in 2017 that significantly increased taxes, but our road mileage hadn't changed much, particularly after the ease of COVID. I'm going to support the plan, but I've got some real reservations about it. I think we need to focus on the things that do the best amount to reduce greenhouse gases and provide resiliency. I think those are the most important things. I think we need to focus our efforts and our attentions on those. Many of the others are great ideas, but this plan may not be the pace for them. And some of them don't even need to be in the plan. For an example, if you look at them, I have to dig through my many pages, the section on materials and waste, if you look at Objective 3, those are all controlled by the city within city operations. The city manager can implement all of those in one fell swoop without going through the plan process. All of them make good sense. And the city manager can do that and doesn't need a great deal of consensus. Those are city operations things. So my concern is the scope is too broad. It looks like they tried to include every social aspect we could think of. Not that they're not bad. It's just the climate action plan may not be the place for these events. And I'm more focused on reducing greenhouse gases and increasing resiliency.
Those are really good points, Alan. I appreciate you flagging all that. And I think that part of that actually, so there is a lot in this plan. And I think part of that spurred the separate columns that came out in terms of greenhouse gas reduction potential. So a lot of these are prioritized, whether it's low, medium, or high, looking at the timelines of the cost. And so then basically we have this long list that we could pick and choose from, but then figuring out how can we triangulate from a wish list? What is the lower cost items that we can do in a short time frame that are going to have high impact? And then Patricia, maybe you could talk a little bit about the prioritization process that's been underway that I know council's been involved in.
Sure. I'd also just like to address a couple of Alan's concerns first. So there was a benefit cost analysis done on the gas tax and also on the parking in one of the appendices. And so the gas tax didn't pencil out. And there was also an equity issue with that. The parking, the idea of charging for parking downtown was one of the ones that did seem to pencil out. But again, as you mentioned, you know, the data about whether that's going to be enough to have people take public transportation instead of taking their car is to be determined, right? I mean, a lot of it is about how people react and how behavior changes, which is hard to predict. So as for the, you know, kind of the picking the pieces that we can focus on, in the last task force meeting, we did look at ways to prioritize some of these actions because yes, there are a lot. And as you said, a lot of them don't have much impact on greenhouse gas at all. So we looked at how can we prioritize ones that, as Dylan said, that have high GHG reduction potential, have a lower cost to the city, and that the city is the lead on. So even though they might be under the purview of the city to make those changes, there needs to be the decision to kind of, you know, coming for the city manager to actually implement those changes. So that was kind of one way we picked some of the strategies to propose for early implementation. Then we also looked at things that we're already doing. For instance, we already have a lot of things that are in the plan that we're already working on. Like we're constantly repairing and upgrading our sidewalks, you know? So when it says complete the city's sidewalk system, yes, that's a great thing to do. It takes a long time, but we're working on it piecemeal. You know, every single year we replace pieces of sidewalk or add new sidewalks. So there's ongoing things that we can keep doing and that we should put in the headlights. And also there's ones that we know that the state is going to require from us through their own state rulemaking. And there's ones that we should do because we're going to need them for kind of the governance and organization of the plan. So forming partnerships and hiring someone to manage the plan. And then also ones where the city could actually show leadership and do some early actions, as you mentioned, Alan, that are totally within our purview to do for city actions and do some of those early. So we're kind of looking at multiple buckets of actions that kind of fall under those headings.
Well, I appreciate your comments. And if I'm, as I said, I try to look at it from a pragmatic standpoint. And what I'm concerned about is if we make it, and for example, the parking downtown, well, I don't want to drive people to Kaiser to shop. That doesn't do anything for us. And it didn't do anything for reduction in greenhouse gases. And if people get the impression that, hey, Salem really is not encouraging downtown shopping, they'll find some of a mechanism. That's a small piece. I am very flexible on some of the things Woody talked about. And if I have a weakness, it's our parks and our natural resources. And I understand, even though they may not have much in the way of reduction, even though I think some of them may be undervalued, I think they may generate more reduction than we think about. But it does enhance our city, and it does enhance our livability. I am concerned about some of them. As I said, so many of them talk about using incentives to get things done, but I don't know where that money's coming from. And I think that the score on the cost, it doesn't look at the cost to the individual, the homeowner. For example, one of the things would require a certificate before a person could sell their home, including residential property. Well, you take a retired couple to get trying to go off to the nursing home, all of a sudden they've got to spend a lot of money to try to upgrade that before they can sell a house. That has a significant financial impact on them. May not be to the city, but it does on those individuals. So I hope that whoever making decisions will take that in full consideration on some of these items. Because as I said, I don't see where there's some cost that we talk about, but I don't think we really finalize. And also, I just don't see the funding source on all these incentives that may, in fact, come into play.
Yeah, thank you. Those are very good points. And we actually have heard quite a bit of concern about that one that you mentioned about requiring energy upgrades before selling the house. That was one that definitely people were very concerned about. So it's still in the plan. It doesn't mean that council would choose to implement that one. It's not on our early action list. But the consultants did feel that weatherization of houses, especially older houses, is one of the things that can be achieved to reduce energy loss and thereby reduce, you know, use of energy and possibly reducing greenhouse gas emissions as well. So that's why it was kept in at this point. And then I agree that incentives where does the money come from? Yeah, that's, you know, there's only Energy Trust of Oregon can provide some incentives. The state can provide incentives. The city has limited capacity to provide financial incentives, but it might be more of the kind of incentive of technical advisory kind of, or, you know, coming and doing an energy audit, those kinds of things potentially.
Well, as I said, I understand that. And I realize that implementation is further down the road, but it makes me nervous when costs are talked about, but they're not identified and funding sources aren't identified. Maybe that will come later in the as a plan leads towards implementation. But I would be remiss if I didn't bring these issues up because I spent a lot of time reviewing this and try to objectively analyze each particular piece. And I wish I could vote for about half the plan because I think the half the plan shows a tremendous amount of work and a tremendous amount of potential.
And Alan, of course, you should send in your comments as an individual as well.
Oh, I have.
Okay.
Thank you. Mickey, you're up next. But Alan, I just want to say, I really do hear you on this. And it is a lot. It's a mammoth of the plan. So I understand exactly where you're coming from. And as we're thinking about getting to the letter revision portion, maybe there's a way to strengthen. I know I put on the second paragraph, we're supportive of the natural resource vision. But maybe we, assuming that you're more comfortable with that section, maybe we really tailor our letter to say, this is the section we're specifically talking about opposed to the full plan, just to add clarity there.
Well, my concern is that we could adopt 20 or 25 objectives with low reduction in greenhouse gases and still not achieve the results of one or two major high impact events. That's the reason I'm just trying to get the most bang for the buck on what we're trying to get done. Mm-hmm.
That makes sense. Mickey, let's go to you, then Keith, and then I saw Paul's hand.
Okay, thank you. Wow, this is quite a plan. I mean, it's very detailed. It actually is kind of overwhelming in a while. In itself. I did want to say, first of all, in the letter, I really appreciated the letter you put together. I like the idea of looking at the goals and things through that natural resources lens. You know, the fact that you brought that up in the letter with making sure that resource strategies is complementary pieces of other goals. I think that's really, really important for us to think about, especially if we start, not us as SPRAB, but as if the city is gonna start looking at some goal 5 planning. I think it's really, really crucial. Thank you for answering the question, Patricia, about prioritization, because that was one of my big questions. As I looked through the strategies, I was thinking, okay, I wish I had this in an Excel file and I could either sort it or filter it to see which ones you get the most bang for your buck for, you know, and which things I'd decide on if I was going to prioritize them. So I found that really, really interesting, and that's how I would look at it. And then speaking of it, whatever strategies the implementation committee or whoever decides to start looking at, as I looked at each one of these strategies, scientific point of view, every strategy should have some sort of assessment metrics included in it. You know, that's something that could have come along with the table as well, but I really appreciated in the cost benefit analysis in Appendix 6, they had areas for future research. But to me, it's ongoing research. You look at what you're doing now, you know, write up your implementation plan or implement whatever it is, and make sure you have metrics that you're measuring along the way so that you can evaluate it. So that part's really important to me, and I'm glad they brought that up, at least in that Appendix 6. Let's see if I had something else here. No, I really didn't have any other questions. I did have one for Woody about one of his comments. Can I just bring it up right now, or should I wait till after we talk about the plan?
No, go for it.
Okay. Woody, I just had a question. When you mentioned the nativars, I think that's a great term, you know, natural variant found in the wild and then brought into cultivation. Were you referring to ones locally more or ones from Southern Oregon, for instance?
Well, these would be local, but found locally, but they're someone has found one that has special characteristics, and then they're growing them in local nurseries, as okay. compared to bringing them from an outside place. But okay. You can still do both, really. Just you're still looking for something that will live in the environment that we're in right now, and how it's changing in the future.
Right, right. No, I agree with you. I would like to see us use both ones from here locally, as well as native VARs from the south, because, you know, according to the projections, we are going to keep warming up. And so that would be one of those little research studies that I'd like to track. Anyway, those are my comments. Thank you.
Those are really helpful. Keith, you want to go next?
Yeah, I just had a real quick comment, very similar to what you were saying there, Dylan, and kind of recognition of Alan's concerns, perhaps tailoring our letter to be more specific to the natural resource section would be appropriate, given kind of the purview of SPRAB, and that I think most of the issues dealing with our sphere of parks and trees being kind of contained within that section for the most part. So I'd be open to that modification. I don't have any magic language in my mind yet ready to propose for that, but I think that might help help address some of the, or at least make sure that SPRAB's endorsement here is specific to the purview of SPRAB's realm, I guess is kind of where I'm at with it.
That makes sense, Keith. And I think Alan made a good comment at the start that he support, Alan, I'm putting some words in your mouth, but essentially I feel like you said you support the goals of the plan and what they're trying to do. And then you were listing some concerns with other areas, but I think there could be a way to say that we're supporting the goals of the climate action plan and whatnot, but then say in this specific section where we feel like we have the credibility is where we're adding our specific endorsement right now. I guess that could then achieve both outcomes, I think, in my mind.
Well, that's one reason I said that I was going to vote to support it, even though I may not like parts of it, because the two goals as stated in the executive summary, I'm 100% supportive of those.
That makes sense. Paul, I know you had your hand up. I want to make sure you get a chance to talk. Paul?
Okay. Yeah. One thing, I applaud the efforts of everybody putting this plan together on the bike. I have concur with Keith's initial comments that really this is going to have to be an adaption process. Salem, and I think I applaud any individual or any community or larger entity to address these problems that face this with the changing climate. I concur with the fact that we're tailoring SPRAB's purview to the natural resources and what our level of responsibility is appropriate. So I certainly would support it. However, I guess I have to say on a larger point, there's a certain irony, because kind of concurrent to the climate action plan is the Salem growth plan. And they're talking about 2035, I think adding 60,000 people to the Salem area. May not be the exact number, that's just thinking off the top of my head. So it shows you kind of the dilemma that we have. We can certainly make future growth be more environmentally sensitive, but at the same time, adding 60,000 people with the attendant housing and cars and energy use and so forth is a problem. So it's kind of like, but that aside, I think at least we're raising the consciousness of climate and maybe encourage individuals to take what steps they can and just hope that message will spread to the larger world as well, because I think we were probably following the conference in Glasgow, Scotland, and And it was at one level encouraging, but, you know, and leave it at that. So anyway, those are my comments.
Those are really helpful, Paul. And Patricia, maybe you could share a little bit of insight. I know this came up during the task force meetings in terms of having the growth plan, the R-Salem plan. There's a lot of plans happening right now. I know transportation is going to be up soon and well. So maybe you could just share kind of how the city and staff are thinking about all those integrating into this.
Yes, I mean, definitely we've been integrating the climate action plan with the R-Salem, you know, which is the comprehensive plan you were referring to, Paul. And, you know, how, as Salem grows, you know, how are we going to grow so that we can try to reduce our greenhouse gas emissions at the same time that we're growing? And so that's kind of where trying to have a more dense housing along the Chariot's core network. So making it easier for people to ride the bus, having a better bike system where people feel safe riding their bikes. So a lot of people have said it's not enough just to have bike lanes. They would like those bike lanes to be either separate or protected somehow. And then having more trails and sidewalks, so it makes it easier for people to get around. Obviously, not everybody is mobile that way, and there's always going to be some level of car use. So that's why the state is pushing, you know, for electric vehicles, electric vehicle charging stations, more of that. But yeah, it's going to be kind of a balancing act as we move forward and increase the population while also trying to get reduced vehicle miles traveled and become more resilient. So, and education is a big part of it, I think. I'll just add that Chariots is one of our key partners in this, and they are going to be doing their own climate action plan in the next year. And they've already started moving towards reducing there's hired or just purchased, I think, 10 new EV buses. So they're actually already moving in that direction. So they're going to be one of the key partners to help us implement this plan. And maybe the school district too. Dave's raising his hand. He wants to be part of it.
Yeah, Dave, go ahead.
Get my microphone on here. I was looking at the plan, and it is very intense, but I'm a little confused about the greenhouse gas reduction potential when I look at these charts, because I'm not sure if that means a reduction of emissions or an increase of sequestration of carbon into the soils. I really don't see much discussion about the sequestration potential of the different actions. And I'm wondering, because it's kind of the two sides of the equation where you're trying to get a balance between how much we emit, how much carbon goes into the atmosphere, and how much we can pull back out of it and put it back into the soil. So I'm a little confused about that in the plan, because it doesn't seem to talk about sequestration at all. But it seems like we should be scoring that and some of these objectives.
Yeah, so they did look at, in the models, in the GHG forecasts, they did look at sequestration and the tree canopy. I don't think they did soils per se, although we do have that as one of our strategies. But it was somewhat depressing, I'll say, in that the sequestration component was a very small, small piece of reducing the GHG. So the GHG potential is based on pretty much reducing emissions.
Okay, yeah, that's not real clear in the tables. I was looking through trying to figure out where that's explained, but it seems like we should have something in there about the ability for these different actions to sequester carbon, is the only way we're going to get it back out of the atmosphere is to sequester it back into the earth.
Yeah, so we have it in our natural resource strategies. We have one about floodplains that Ken Beerley kind of helped wordsmith a little bit, because he sent us some research about sequestration of carbon by wetlands. And so we added that. But, you know, the thing is, a lot of times when you're doing the models and like, I mean, this is a crude low, medium, high scoring table, so it's not very refined. But in their models, they did try to capture some of those actions. But again, you know, the tree canopy, we have kind of some data on that, on our current tree canopy. And if we can increase it, we do actually have data that we can feed into the models in the future as well as we increase our tree canopy. I mean, there's other technologies about carbon sequestration, but those are new and we don't know what the capacity is going to be for those yet.
Okay. Do you have any idea how much land we need to be able to sequester the amount of carbon that we put into the atmosphere within the city?
I think we would need a lot of land. I don't know the exact acres, but we don't have nearly enough to sequester it in the soil from the city. That's kind of what the state is actually looking at, that at the state level as far as agriculture goes. But within the city itself, you know, without expanding our urban growth boundary, which I don't think they would let us do for carbon sequestration, you're pretty much stuck with doing purchasing offsets, you know, which is like purchasing someone else's carbon credits, which is very, very expensive. So,
yeah, I was hoping to see in the plan that some coordination with the state to try to get them to change the land use laws to increase the amount of land that can be within the growth boundary that can, so some of it can be held just to sequester the carbon back out of the atmosphere. But I know that's a
that's a big ask.
Yeah, it's a big ask.
Yeah.
But it seems like the city should try to plan for removing the carbon that they're putting into the atmosphere. As we concentrate the carbon emissions, it seems like in areas that are developed.
Yeah, and of course the emissions don't stay where they're generated.
No, they don't. We just don't want them in the ocean.
Dave, do you think this would be something you would like to see reflected in the letter, like perhaps paragraph 3, where I mentioned canopy cover? We could say something about co-benefits alongside carbon reduction and sequestration, or do you want to strictly leave that as public comment separate?
No, I would like to see it in the letter. I really think it's critical to show both sides of the equation and to discuss somehow in the plan how it's considered in this GHG reduction potential, the scoring.
Good point. Other comments before we start working on the letter based on all of this? Obviously, we can keep adding more, but yeah, Woody.
We just seem to be losing ground as far as tree canopy goes when you think about forest fires and all that, but even here in Salem, just last February, we lost a huge amount of number of mature trees, and also a number of a lot of trees that have been recent, you know, planted in the last few years. That's where in one of my comments about really paying attention to the choices of the trees that you're choosing, like the that one form of Chinese elm that just got obliterated by the ice storm. So it seems like we you know, spin our wheels of planting these trees to get them established, and then in an event comes along like that the trees there's no way they can survive that type of event. So that's the other thing about choosing different trees depending on what kind of environmental issues come up. That's all I have to say.
A good point. And I think that especially as we're editing this third paragraph or anywhere else, adding something about climate resilience more specifically would probably be good alongside sequestration. I was trying to rewrite part of the start there, and Zoom's chat's always a little bit rough, but you can see I tried to add in some of the language we talked about to the first couple lines, and I haven't gone any further yet, but I was just pulling it all up so I could work. Try and incorporate everything as it was stated.
Dylan, I've got, I was trying to do some incorporation myself. I've pulled in part of your edits there, but I've got a Word document here. Would it be beneficial to, with track changes in it, would it be beneficial to share that right now? Or
Yeah, I think, I guess I'll first ask, is there anyone else, Rick, Tony, that has not, or that wants to share any more thoughts kind of high level before we get to the point of trying to revise our letter to reflect all these comments? It seems like we have broad agreement, I would say, amongst all the points that have been brought up so far. And it seems like I would characterize it as there's broad agreement and support for the plan as a whole, the high level goals, and the natural resource section seems to have a lot of strengths. There's some specifics we'd like to call out and maybe make sure that our letter is both specific to the draft that we're reviewing and to the area with our purview in terms of really commenting on the natural resource section in particular. Does that summarize kind of where everyone feels like we're at right now? See a thumbs up. Okay. Keith, that would be great if you would share your screen. I don't know if you are a co-host and can do that or if Tony needs to make you one.
It looks like I can.
He's fine. He's a co-host.
Okay. Thank you, Tony.
How's that?
It's a little zoomed out. If you could zoom in, it's getting better. Much better. Yep.
All right.
Do you want to?
I did not get your edits all incorporated in the first paragraph here, whatever you just put into that.
I think you got most of, I think you got the gist of them. Yep.
This one I pulled in from you here in the first line. So again, just making it specific to the natural resource section. Down here, I added, David, your request for the sequestration there. And then here I was in the process of adding a separate paragraph that I think addressed some of Alan's comments as well as Mickey's on some of the strategies and metrics associated with that. I just kind of threw this up here pretty quickly. So open to any sort of changes there if folks have suggestions.
Well, first I'll say great quick work, Keith. This is, you did a really good job of capturing a lot of it. I think in the paragraph above the one you added, where you added sequestration, do you think we should add something about climate resilient trees or what was the term, nativars, something along those lines in terms of as we're talking about canopy cover, or do you feel like we don't need that here?
I'm not sure.
That's all right. Okay. What do others think about Keith's comments? Do you feel like it's capturing what you've offered? Any further edits?
I like it.
Keith, could you go back to the very start? I didn't get a chance to read any of your changes to the first paragraph. Okay. We have Salem twice in that second sentence there. We believe adapting Salem to the realities of climate change will make Salem more livable. I wonder if we want to just say change one of those. We have city, yeah. I'm being nitpicky, but I feel like this is the time for it.
That was a fix.
It's the screen, the windows are all, this is the downfall of Zoom. The windows are all a little small. So if folks have edits, comments, thoughts, please just speak up. It's harder to see the raised hands right now. I'm not hearing anything. I mean, I think Keith, you just really did a good job of incorporating what was discussed tonight. Does anyone have concerns or does everyone feel comfortable with what is reflected here on behalf of the board?
I think the changes pretty much reflect, you know, our discussions and our feelings about this. So I think it's well stated.
Chair?
Yes.
Can I make a recommendation as this is going to be a letter not representing an individual, but a board as a whole? Once the draft is finalized, I recommend that there be a formal vote on the final version of the letter.
Absolutely. Thank you, Mark. But yes, I think we should take a motion on this. And I think you made a good comment on a previous letter to specify that I can sign on behalf of SPRAB, because usually I sign it so there's a signature on it. And so that's like we put like the chair on behalf of the board. So I think you made that comment last time, and that's well taken as well. So it sounds like we have a good amount of consensus here. So do we have a motion to send the letter as revised to City Council on behalf of SPRAB, and it will be signed by the chair?
I will make that motion. I'm probably the most critical, but I'll make that motion.
I'll second it.
Okay, we have a second by Rick. Do we have any further discussion or comments on the motion at hand? Alan, I do really want to second, you know, that you bring up some really good points. And I think as we get to this implementation stage, it's going to be really important for us as SPRAB and for all the other sections where there's city boards or commissions that are, I guess, in charge or are responsive to those issues, that we all stay aware of these topics and to really help push for the everything from climate resilient trees to thinking about funding mechanisms for our natural resources, just to make sure that we have this great outline of many, many, many goals. But when getting this to the implementation in reality is going to take work. And I think that this is an opportunity for us as SPRAB to stay engaged, hopefully, assuming council adopts and implements the plan. Okay, well, any further discussion before we go to a vote? Okay, I'm not seeing any, so I will do roll call. Mickey Varney.
Aye.
Alan Alexander.
Aye.
Tony Cato.
Aye.
Woody Dukes.
Aye.
Dave Friedenmaker.
Abstain.
Okay. Rick Hartwig.
Aye.
Keith Norris. Keith.
Aye.
Paul Rice?
Aye.
And I vote aye as well. The motion passes. Dave, if we could clarify, are you abstaining due to your role on the school board as well, or is there any concerns about the letter?
In terms of voting for the school district, I need to abstain. I really can't support or not support it at this point.
That makes sense. Thank you for clarifying. Well, and thank you, Keith, for your quick work on editing and incorporating those. And thank you all for doing your homework on this. It was really great to hear all of the different perspectives, and that all of you, there is a lot to read here. So I really appreciate the time that everyone dedicated to this and for showing up on a Tuesday outside of our regular meeting time. Our next meeting is going to be December 9th. But I guess I'll just quickly say, are there any other items or new business that folks would like to raise before we adjourn? Okay. Tony, Patricia, and Kimberly, I guess in terms of next steps, if Keith, would you be willing to share that with Tony, your revised version? Yes. And then I can sign that and we can send that over tomorrow morning. But is there anything else you need from me or from the board in the meantime?
I think we'll just go through that same process we've gone through before, Dylan, and perfect, then forward it on.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
Okay. Well, I would just like to say thank you to the board for taking the time out to, first of all, read that document, which I know is rather large, and for your thoughtful comments. I really appreciate that.
All right, everyone. Great work tonight. Thank you, Patricia, again, for managing this big project. And I'm excited to see how the informational session goes with council and as it moves forward to a hearing. But thank you all for your time. And this meeting is adjourned. Have a great rest of your evening.
Thank you, everyone. Night.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.